Here's something I have you go to that next slide. So, first I want to welcome you all here. We had quite a few guests, and I'd like to welcome all the guests here. I'm not going to lie, though. Every Sunday I come in, I see new faces every Sunday. So I don't know that I've introduced myself to everybody. I am Jeff Gibson. I'm the youth leader here at the church. I'm the one that works with others to do 180 worship and teaches the middle and high schoolers downstairs. And, of course, I'm not the only one. It takes a ton of people to do that. So you need to be in prayer for all those people that are teaching our youth. Because it is a job, because everybody has their own jobs. Even though this is our top priority, should be anyway, we have our own jobs. We have other things that God has put us out in the world to do also. So be in prayer for them. But that is awesome to see them go downstairs. So I have some words on the screen. Sin, purge, punishment, salvation, freedom, and the battle. And, you know, unlike the last time I got to preach, we were doing fan or follower, and we was going right through the book, and everybody was there. But I'm going to dig in deep to something a little different today. And the difference is, I want to know, why do we take communion? What's the purpose for it? Why do we do it every week? And it has to do with all those things right there. Every one of them, in my mind. That's what I come up with. I know it's weird to have the purge on there, but there's a purpose for it, because I read my Bible a lot, and I've been reading in Deuteronomy, and I'm telling you, the purge is brought up in there a lot. And I know we have the movie The Purge. I've never watched it, but I'm sure it's crazy. Looks crazy, all right? Interesting. I know what it was about, but that's not exactly what we're talking about here. Okay. So why? What is communion about? Well, it's because of sin that we have to have communion. Because of sin, and it all starts back in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 with the fall of man. I'm going to go through probably a few verses. You guys don't have to turn to all of them, but those of you that like to write them down, that's fine. But with the fall of man, because in the beginning, there was no sin. Adam and Eve were in the garden, and everything was perfect until that crafty old serpent, the devil, came and tempted. Now, we like to blame it on Eve, okay? Because she's the one that took the fruit and gave it to her husband. But we have free will, man, okay? We didn't have to take it, but we did. And sin entered the world at that point. And ever since then, these things have had to happen. Had to. These are the have-tos in a relationship with Christ. We are all sinners. Every one of us, all of us are sinners. And we have to do something to purge that from our lives. Which comes through salvation that gives us freedom from that sin, and we have a continuous battle. And those are the things that we're going to talk about today. But it all starts in the garden. Now, I said I've been reading on. When we get into the book of Deuteronomy, and it's all the laws and all the things that Jesus came and overcame, one thing was constant as I read it, and I know maybe chapter 13 or 14 and in chapter 17, if you read through there, you must purge sin from Israel. You must purge sin from your lives. You must remove it. You must get rid of it. That's our challenge. And for so long, we tried to do it ourselves. And I hate to tell you, we can't get rid of it ourselves. We cannot get rid of sin ourselves. But we are told to purge it. Back then, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, okay? When we're talking the Israelites, purge was they picked up rocks and they started stoning that person to death because they were following idols. They were following something other than God. They were doing detestable acts, sexual immorality, lying, cheating. I mean, we're talking, they purged sin from the Israelite community because they didn't want that to infiltrate everybody else in the community. Okay? Sin is like a disease. It really is. All right? And I'm going to tell you right now, lots of sins are probably fun, but not good for you. Okay? So we are to purge those things from our lives. And I've said this many times, any high school kid, which there's none up here right now, that's been in my class, the punishment for sin is death. In the garden, what was the punishment for sin? Death. Adam and Eve was not going to die, but once sin entered the world, that punishment was death. We are all destined to die. That's how it happens. All of us are going to die because of sin. So there is a punishment, and you're going to hear me say it a lot. The punishment for sin is death. You got to put that in your head. In the Old Testament, what did they do? They sacrificed to cover sins. There was death of a pure animal to cover our sins. Did I say get rid of sin? Because it did not get rid of sin. It covered those sins. God put it in place because in the beginning, God had a plan. This book is that plan, start to finish. Okay? In the beginning was the plan, and this book is that plan. And it started in the garden. And it goes all the way to Revelation, and it will be fulfilled. There is punishment for sin, and that punishment is death. And everybody in here is going to die. Now, we all know that we have souls. Our souls will live on forever in one of two places. We're either going to live on forever with Christ or separated from Him. And the Bible describes that separation as really, really bad. Really bad. The thing that always comes to my head is gnashing of teeth bad. That it's so bad that you grit your teeth together and they break. That sounds pretty bad. Again, not sugarcoating it. We take communion because of sin. We take communion because of sin. I'm going to get there. So we have the punishment is death, and we have salvation. And I know I'm saying a lot of things you guys probably know, but salvation came in the form of a baby. A baby. Not in the form of a king coming out of the clouds. Not in the form of somebody born into riches. A baby born to the Virgin Mary and a carpenter named Joseph. We look at this every year, right? With Christmas, okay? Every year. Jesus came and he lived a life and he did things to show us how to live and give us salvation through his death, burial, and resurrection, which ultimately gave us the freedom to overcome sin. We are not bound by sin anymore. It says it all throughout the Bible that salvation frees us from sin. That is a great thing. That is an amazing thing. That's one of the reasons why every Sunday we get together and break bread together, is because of what Jesus did for us, giving us that freedom. And we have the battle. I was baptized, and I can't even tell you the year. It was a long time ago now. I was a teenager. It was down at church camp in the Sea of Galilee. That was the name of the pool. I love telling that story because I'm one of the few people that's probably been baptized in the Sea of Galilee and talks about it. But in the pool at church camp, my grandpa Chad was the one that put me under the water. Amazing. Do you think from that time on, when I was 16 years old, that I didn't do anything bad anymore? No. All right? I did my life happened after that because of the battle. We battle daily. I was a new Christian, battled daily, okay? Struggle with sexual immorality, struggle with lying, struggle. I mean, you name it, there's something that I probably did during that time that did not look anything like me going under that water because I was losing the battle. And I don't know when it happened sometime in there, but God finally kicked me, okay, and got me back on the right track. Because of the battle, because I started to understand more of this. We have a lot of people that have just joined not this church, but yet Christianity, following Christ, following Him in the way of baptism. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be really hard. And that's why we have to remember what Christ done for us. We have to continuously remember part of baptism. We have to continuously remember part of communion. We do it out of remembrance for what He done for us. Because I was in a dark place at about age 15, 16, whatever, in there, really dark. And then I worked at a factory for a long time, and my mouth was in a dark place. And that's a really hard thing to get over, everybody, when your mouth enters a dark place, where like the F word becomes another permanent part of your speech, okay? Been there, done that. All right, my wife can tell you it's still a struggle sometimes. Okay, I'm sure she's heard it, but not as often. I'd like to think that I'm doing better. That was a weird look. Maybe not. Maybe I'm not doing better. Because it's something that I'm conscious of. In the job I use, okay, or you don't have. Those are things that we all struggle with because sin entered my life and I had a battle. You guys have to battle also. We battle. But I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus didn't just say, all right, you're saved. Good luck. Okay? Actually, throughout Scripture, and there's one specific part of Scripture that He shows us how to overcome temptation and overcome the battle. And I think that we lose our sight of that. All right? So, Bruce, let's go to that next screen. I called me up or sent me a text and said, hey, want some verses, sermon scriptures. And I've got six sermon scriptures in there. Three of them are over communion, all right? They're over the Lord's Supper. They are people that sat with Jesus, talked with Jesus, and wrote down what happened that night when Jesus broke bread with them. And three of them are over the temptation of Jesus. Okay, and there's some specific things I want to tell you about the temptation of Jesus. One, He was not tempted until something amazing happened in His life. He was a human on this earth. He went through the same things we did, and He conquered it. Okay? First, He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted after something amazing happened to Him, and it was called baptism. He was baptized. He was baptized and had no sin in His life, and He was still baptized. And my Bible reads that He did it to achieve all righteousness. That's what He told John when it was happening. We do this to achieve all righteousness. Then the dove come out of heaven. This is my Son, whom I love. The Spirit ascended on Him. Amazing. I get chills thinking about it, all right? It makes me feel like that time when I went under that water in the Sea of Galilee. You feel the chill. It's a different feeling. But the battle was on after that. Jesus was preaching after that, and the battle was on, and He was tempted like no other was tempted here. We're in Matthew chapter 4, and when you read this, It's crazy. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After 40 nights he was hungry. I'm telling you right now, if I go for 40 minutes, I'm hungry. Okay? So I don't know what it would be like to go for 40 days. But he did it. And you got to think, the devil, he's crafty. He's not going to get you. He's going to try and get you when things are going good, when things are going bad. But he's going to go after something that you need. He's crafty. He went after Jesus because he knew he was hungry, but he also knew he had the power to. He knew who he was. The devil, he's not dumb. He knew who Jesus was. So he came up to him. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." He knew he had the ability to turn them into bread. If I'm hungry and I have the ability to turn a rock into bread, what am I going to do? Well, if I got an ability to turn it into a bread, I got an ability to turn it into a Reese's peanut butter cup, okay? So I'm probably not going to do bread, everybody, all right? But if I got, not Jesus, but Jesus teaches us, he was told he could turn it into bread, and his answer was, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." He could have told him a lot of things, but he didn't. He quoted Scripture. He quoted Scripture. "Man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the word of God." Comes from the mouth of God, sorry. Scripture. How do we overcome our hunger? How do we overcome the devil's temptation? He used Scripture. Can we use Scripture? It's been given to us. This is our bread of life. This is the very word of God. Scripture. Bruce, let's move on to the next one. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand at the highest point of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." The devil is even more crafty. So the devil, he throws this out there. Now the devil, "for it is written," the devil, he's trying to get Jesus. And he's tapping into the fact that Jesus has this power, and he's going to be protected. Of course, how many times have you guys ever heard a scripture that might have been twisted a little bit? Trying to get you to do something, right? Trying to get that little twist that maybe something's all right when it's really not. Okay? Jesus, he responded, "It's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Should we test God? Who are we to test God? Okay? We should not test God, all right? And I want to let you know right now that if we truly believe in Christ, if we have the faith of a mustard seed that he came to this earth, died on a cross, if we have that faith, my Bible says we can move mountains. So we're in a battle daily, right? We are not Jesus. But Jesus overcame with Scripture because guess what? He could have jumped off that and he wouldn't have been hurt. Okay? Again, Scripture was used. Scripture. Let's move on, Bruce. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. He said, "All of this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And the devil left him, and angels came and attended. So in this last temptation, I think we'd probably all lose here for sure. Okay? If you was given anything and everything you ever wanted. If you knew that you could be given that. All you had to do was bow down and worship Satan. That would be a tough one, wouldn't it? And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to be some horn guy there, okay, with a pitchfork, flame coming out. This could be some guy in a suit, not even called Satan. But you know, he's asking you to do something, to have all this stuff, but it's not God's will. It's not what God has for you. That's pretty tough, isn't it? You know, a lot of times I think we think of the old pitchfork and the big red devil and flames and fire, and a regular man comes up to you that has power on this earth and asks you to do something that is against what God wants, and you do it. Been there. All right? We have to evaluate ourselves. For it is written, was mentioned all three times. We can defeat Satan and our temptations using this book. For it is written. Okay? For it is written. Now all this leads back to one thing. Okay? I want you guys to know how to defeat the devil. I want you to know that there is a constant battle. I want you to know that we're supposed to purge sin from our lives, and it can only come from Jesus. We have to understand that. But every single week we sit down here and we take of the bread and we take of the juice and we proclaim Christ coming again. We read it together out of 2 Corinthians. We do all of that. And I'm telling you, it's for us to remember what Christ did for us. And by remembering that, hopefully we can overcome our sin. That we pray daily that God is with us and we can overcome our sin. That we read this book, what is written, so that we can overcome our sin. We are going to continue to sin. You're going to walk out of this place today. I bet I might not make it 15 minutes before I sin. I might not make it 22 seconds. I don't know. All right? But I know I have God with me, and I am going to spend the rest of my life carrying a cross to overcome those sins. The rest of my life, I'm going to be in battle. The rest of my life. Because I need to purge sin from my life. I need to get rid of it. And it's going to be a battle. It's not going to be easy. And I'm going to beat it some days, and some days it's going to come right back, and I'm going to bring it right back into my life. It's going to be my fault, and I'm going to have to beat it again. We are all going to have those battles. Every day when you come in and you sit down in these pews on Sunday, so not every day, on Sunday, okay? When you come in and we pass that communion plate around, it's to remember what Jesus did for you, that he takes those sins away. In the beginning, I said the punishment for sin is death. And Jesus paid it for us. He not only did he show us how to live, he showed us how to overcome temptation. And there's other verses that go through this, but I picked the temptation of Jesus. He showed us by using Scripture, we need to know this book so that we can overcome sin. That's a given. But we also have to remember what he did for us, not just on Sundays, but daily. But in that upper room, those other verses that I give, he was with his disciples and he told them, and they broke bread together to do this in remembrance of him. That's why we do it. I remember that he took away not only the world's sins, but my sins also. For those who believe in him, he took away those sins. All you have to do is believe. It's a free gift. It's freedom. Freedom and a free gift. I think it's amazing. Okay? So as I close today, I want to read one thing to you here. Right, we're going to go with my Bible upside down. Did you see that one? It's Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, and it's the parable of the wedding banquet. If there's ever an invitation message, I can't give it as well as Jesus does. So let me read this to you. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servant to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off. One to his field and another to his business. The rest seized his servants and mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged, and he sent his army to destroy those murderers and burn their city. Then he said to his servant, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So that the servants went out to the streets and gathered all the people who they could find, both good and bad, and went to the wedding hall, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed that a man was there, not wearing the wedding clothes. "Friend," he asked, "how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" And the man was speechless. And the king told those attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Wow, I quoted that a while ago. "For many are invited, but few are chosen." I want everyone to know that sin entered this world, and we are all subject to it now. Okay? The only way that we can get rid of that sin, purge it from our lives, have that salvation, is to believe in Jesus. And Jesus has prepared a banquet for you. Every person in this room, he's prepared a banquet for you, and you are invited. And what you do with that invitation is up to you. But I know that no one's going to get in there without knowing Jesus. Not a person's going to get in there. As you can see, the person who wasn't wearing the wedding clothes was casted out. How do you get the wedding clothes? From believing in Jesus, accepting him as your Savior. That's how you get in. Like I said, I can't give an invitation. But we're going to have our musicians come up and play a song. Jesus gave you the invitation, not me. You are invited to a wedding banquet. And what you do with that invitation is up to you. He purged sin from our lives through his death. And every Sunday we come in here and we take of the bread because he said to. And we take of the juice because he said to. And we remember what he did for us. Let us pray.